Bezal Hashem Yisbarach, we begin Perek Revi, the fourth Perek in the Rambam's Hilchas Yibim Chalitza, the laws of Yibim Chalitza, with the brother-in-law in the Sefer Nashim, where in the first three Prakim we primarily spoke about that of Yibim. Now we're moving on to the halacha of Chalitza, when he doesn't want to do Yibim with her, and also the specifics of the documents that are for that of the Chalitza and those that are related. So the Rambam begins with the order of how Chalitza is supposed to be done. It says Rambam halacha alf ketza mitzvah Chalitza, so how is this mitzvah of Chalitza done? So Hayavama Hilechas Acharyam, so the Yavama, which is the widow who the husband died without any children, goes to her brother-in-law, Bamakam Shusham, in the place where he is, and where he lives in, that there's a court over there, like it says, Vakarle Zikne Iroi, the elders of his town, not of her town. So she comes to his town, Avola the Yun, and she comes to the judges, Behim Karanloi, and they summon him. Now, Vinoisla Itza Hagenis Labala. Now they give good advice for him and for her. And that is, if it's a good idea for them to do Yibim, because it's a Shidduch, that's Matim, it's a very appropriate Shidduch. So so they counsel them to go ahead and do Yibim. That's not, but if it's a better idea for them to not consummate that relationship, to do Chalitza, Kugain, for example, she's a young girl and he's an old man, or he's a king of a Huyelad, or she's an old woman and he's a young man, then they counsel him to do Chalitza, it's not an appropriate Shidduch to make. So the judges have to set aside a place that they should sit over there, and that subsequently the chalitza should take place over there. Shlomo says in the pasuk, that the yavam will go up to the gate, el azakeinim, to the elders, etc. There's the pasuk in Devarim Chafei, which hashara sounds like the gate that was prepared already for this session. Now, let's say loy noidu. Let's say they didn't counsel on this. In other words, they didn't speak about this beforehand. For the kavam makom, and no said place was made. Ela nikroi nikra, rather, they just happened to be in a situation. V'nikras hivo hu lefneim v'choltzu, and she and him were just happened to be in, to be summoned there, and chalitza happened. So chalitza zikshera, after the fact, that is a valid chalitza. Halacha gimel. Now, umalam den oisa v'esayav m'likras. They teach the that the har and the yavam should read until him and har, that they're familiar with the words, because as we're going to explain, there's certain text that has to be said, and that included in this is that she could read the words he doesn't want in one breath, and then subsequently the next word in the Torah, which is what she says, to do yibum to me, so that it shouldn't sound like what she's saying is actually of a yami, that my yam actually wants to do yibim, because the words are loy of a yami. He doesn't want to do yibim to me, and that's the procedure of chalitza. But if she's going to stop between the words loy and the word ava, it's going to sound like no of a yami. He wants to do, he desires yibim, which is not the case. So they teach her not only that she has to know how to read the words, but also exactly where the punctuation is, that loy ava should be together and then yami. After the fact that she's already familiar with how to read the words, now then even if she doesn't do the appropriate reading, let's say she doesn't say those words in one breath, it might be that we're not particular about this. She has to at least be able to do this. But if she's not even able to, doesn't have the capability, then we get her used to this until she knows how to actually do it. She has to actually have that ability at least, even if you don't have, that she doesn't actually execute it at the end. Halacha hey. Now, v'chalitza b'yoyim v'le'b'layla, the chalitza has to take place during the daytime and not at nighttime, because the chalitza is a court case, which has monetary ramifications, as she collects her ksuba. So therefore, like all court monetary cases have to start during the daytime and not at nighttime. U'b'fnei shleisha she'yid l'hakris, those has to be in front of three people that know how to read in front of the yavam and yavama, which this is only likatchila, but this is what we desire. So therefore, the judges should be able to read in front of the man and the woman. Now, v'mechad min ha'shleish, again, now if one of the three judges is a convert, pasul, that's invalid. V'afilo ya'aviv ger, v'ima Yisraelis, and even if just his father was a convert and his mother was a full-fledged Jewish woman, lo'y tachlitz, he cannot be part of the chalitza procedure. Achi aviv v'ima Yisrael, until his father and his mother were born Jewish. Because it says in the pasuk, "Benikur Shema Yisrael," that the name should be called in the Jewish people, "Beis Chalutz Anal," which sounds like that from all sides, these judges, those who are partaking, have to be full-fledged Jewish people. Now, umitzvasa b'chamisha, the mitzvah actually is that initially it should take place in front of five people, And the reason for that is kedei lefarsam hadavar, to publicize that she's a chalutza, and A, that she cannot marry a kohen, and B, that people should know about this, that she should be able to get remarried. Now, although he said that it's really a court case, like three judges, why five? Now, but Eisim Mashnaim, therefore those two, which are just to make it more public by having five people, so those extra two, afil hoyam arts, even if they're ignoramuses, they don't know how to read in front of her, that's okay, because that's not their role. The role is only the judges. They're just there to amplify the announcement, and hence they could be even amaratz. Halacha vav. Now, ketzad chaltzin. So how actually is this procedure of chalitza done? So mevim le minol shel ar. They bring for him a shoe made out of leather, sheishli akiv, that has a heel, ve'ein atavah bepishdan, and it's not sewn with linen, rather with thin strips of leather. V'leiv should be a min, and he puts it on his right foot. V'koshir ritzu oisav al ragla, and he ties the straps onto his foot, lowered on, as we'll see later on, from his, has to be on his foot, not higher up on his leg. V'ayman hu v'hi b'fni bezin, and he and her stand up in front of the court. Now, the court, they read for the Yavama that she should say these words in Lashon HaKodesh, in the original words from the Torah. My Yavam, he doesn't want to do Yibim to me, etc. And after she says her part, they read for him, for the Yavam, yes, the Parsha Lo Yichavas Lekachta, I don't want to take her. And then Benoit Zeragla Ba'aretz, he pushes his foot down into the ground. Now she sits, she stretches her hand out in front of the court, and she unties the straps of his shoe from his foot. She takes off, that's where the word chalitz is from, she takes off the shoe, she throws it down on the ground. When the majority of the heel is off his foot, then the Yavama is ready, permitted to marry to someone else. Now, but the procedure is not over. And after that, she gets up, v'irekes ba'aretz k'neged panav, and she spits on the ground facing the face of the yavam, which is roi kanir l'adiyon, has to be spittle that is visible for the judges that they could see. She mitzvahs chalitza, because the mitzvah of chalitza is sheyu shneim oim d'mishas kriya b'shas rakika, like we had mentioned before, they stand up because they have to stand during the recital of their psukim that they say from the Torah, and the b'shas rakika at the time when she spits. And the reason that is because, since we just mentioned, that's why the Rambam is saying it here, that the spit has to be seen by the judges, so that's part of the court case, and by a judgment, you have to be standing. Now, utzrichen hadiyon and liris haroika yitzmipiyon, like we said, the judges have to see the spit that comes out of her mouth. Now, ba'akach makrin, and then they recite for her to say, after that they did this whole procedure, kachayos le'ish, so shall be done to a man, which is what she did, that she took off the shoe and she spit. That doesn't build his brother's house, because his brother died without any children. He had an ability to make continuity and he refused. But Nikushma Yisrael, and this is all a parasha in the Torah over there, that, and therefore his name shall be called Beis Chalutzanal, the house of the removed shoe. Now, Ram Kediz Allah Chesed, he says, Hakol B'shoyin HaKadosh. Everything is in the original words of the Torah. Shemuel says in the Pasuk, Kacha, like this, which means exactly like this, B'lashon HaZeh, in this language. Now, B'chala Yeshim Shem'in Achre, and after she says this Pasuk, as we mentioned previous Halacha, all those who are sitting over there, they respond after her Chalutz HaNol, they say the shoe was removed, Shalosh Pamim, three times. Now, the Yavama, she has to intend to do Chalitza to him. He has to intend that she's doing chalitza to her, which they're both playing a role over here. They both have to do it l'shem chalitza. And they have to do all these actions for the sake of the mitzvah chalitza. Now, basuma inu chalitz, a blind person should not do chalitza initially, because Shneimer says in the pasuk, v'yarku b'fanav, she spits in his face. That means to say, like, as if he sees it, and ve'in zeroy reik, and he cannot see the spittle. So therefore, like at Chila, he should not be the Yavam doing Chalitza. But according to the Ravid, if there's no brothers, then even initially, the blind person could do Chalitza. Halacha tes. Nimtza seda Chalitza kocha. Says Ram, so it comes out, after everything said, in the final idea, it's Kairi Tchila. She first recites Har Pesukim, Me'in Yavami L'Hakim L'Achim Shem B'Yisrael. Here the Ram says the full verse that is exactly the how-to guide in practice. Main Yavami Lahakiv, Lahakim Lahakiv Shem Yisrael, my Yavam, my brother-in-law, he refuses to erect his brother's name in the Jewish people. Abba Yavam, he doesn't want to do Yibim to me. That's over there in Pasuk Zayin. Then he says what it says in the next Pasuk, yes, Lechavas Lekachta, I didn't desire to take her. And then they do the procedure of her taking off his shoe. And then she does the procedure of her spitting in front of him. And then she recites the pasuk, as we said previously. So shall be done to the man that doesn't build his brother's house. That is, namely, we call the Jewish people, basically, to know the house of the shoe that was removed. Halacha Yud says Ram, but although we said that's how it's supposed to be done, the order is not integral and that for its validity. But even if she or he did not recite their original psukim, or let's say she spit and then did chalitza. We said first does chalitza, then spit. Let's say she spit and then did chalitza. Or she first said the subsequent pasuk and then v'akach raka and then she spit, which says supposed to spit and then say that pasuk. Either way, chalitzasik sheira, all these types, even though it's out of order, it's going to be a valid chalitza. Now, halacha yiralv, but says the Rambam, but why? Why doesn't she go ahead and subsequently do a spit after the chalitza? Meaning, we said that if let's say she spit before chalitza, we're really supposed to do chalitza before spitting. Said, okay, it's going to be valid. But why are you doing it in the b'di'evad way, says the Rambam? Why doesn't she, after doing chalitza, go ahead and then subsequently spit? So there should be, Allah say, there should be on in the order of chalitza and then spitting. Says the Rambam, no, we don't want to do that. Because people are going to say, oh, it must be that spitting is the later part. And they're not letting her just get away with that. That because she did a chalitza, they're making her do another rikika. So it sounds like the rikika on its own is nothing. And that it does not invalidate from the brothers from doing yibum. And the truth is not true. The spittle itself, as Ram is going to say shortly in Halacha Yadal, does invalidate from anyone doing yibum at all. So therefore, to avoid that, we're going to let it go in the b'di'evad way so that it shouldn't be confused and think like it's not even going to do anything by just doing the spit itself. Meaning, we are doing both, we're just doing out of order, but if we required a subsequent rikika again, we would think because the original rikika didn't do anything, which is not true, it does invalidate, although it's not a valid chalitza on its own. Now that I'm continuing the Lochid Beis on a similar vein, but regarding doing chalitza without all the components that we mentioned in this procedure of chalitza. Let's say she only takes off a shoe. There's really three different variables. There's the taking off the shoe, or chalitza, there's the recital of the psukim, and there's the spitting. So let's say she only took off the shoe, she didn't recite the psukim in front of him, she didn't spit in front of him. So the chalitza is going to be valid, because the Torah was only particular about something that she does on him, which is the taking over the shoe, which he's doing with his own foot. But the spitting is not something on him, it's in front of him, and the psukim for sure not, so therefore it's going to be valid. We don't have to say that if she did chalitza and she said the psukim but just didn't spit, or she did the chalitza and spit just didn't recite the psukim, that of course in those cases, for sure that's going to be a valid chalitza. Because again, the primary is the chalitza. Now, halacha yud gimel b'med mamrum, when did we say this, that the recital of psukim is not ma'akiv, is kesho yuchayilin l'davin. We mentioned this idea before. As long as they could have spoken, shaharim ru'im l'kris, because they're fit to speak. And that's a Talmudic concept that kalaroi labila ein bil makevesboy, which that's in the context of menachas. But it's anything that you could do, similar to a woman tabling in the mikvah, as long as it could get there, then even if it's not, it's not going to be a problem. So here, since they could say it, so it's not considered integral to actually say it. But if she's mute or he's mute in chalitza, they cannot do chalitza because it says about saying the psukim. Vim chalitza, if they did chalitza, chalitzasim psula. The chalitza is not like nothing, but it's invalid chalitza. Now, as Ram says, it's not like a deaf mute man or woman that it, when they do chalitza, they haven't done anything. A deaf mute is not just someone that can't speak, it's also that they can't hear, and hence they actually have a lesser intelligence. Now, that's the difference, as Ram is going to explain later on, between chalitza psula, which is an invalid chalitza, it's a chalitza, but it's invalid, and what Ram is calling here by the cheresh and resh is, l'oskum, haven't done anything. Because chalitza psula actually invalidates them from marrying the relatives, and no more yibum could be done with the brothers, versus when you say you haven't done anything, there's like no chalitza was ever done. She's still permitted to do yibum, the relatives are not forbidden, as Ram is going to explain in halacha chavav. Now, Halacha Yadal says the Rambam, let's say Rakka Bulvad, let's say she only spit in front of him. She didn't do the chalitza, taking over the shoe, she didn't say the psukim. Or she Rakka Bakar Balechalitza, or even if she did the spit and the psukim but didn't take over the shoe, that's like a chalitza that's invalid. Meaning, like we said before, it's going to invalidate her on the brothers for doing yibum, because here, what happens is generally is that you do chalitza and then you do the spit. Here, since she spit, people are going to think, oh, if she spit, must have been that she did chalitza already before. And wait a second, we're permitting her to do yibum? They're going to think that a chalitza is permitted to the brothers, which is not the case. So therefore, rabbinically, they say that it's invalid, meaning it's not a kosher chalitza, but it's going to invalidate as if it was a partial chalitza, thus not allowing any more yibum and making the relatives forbidden. Let's say she and him said their psukim, she didn't take off the shoe, she didn't spit, then she hasn't done anything, and she's even still going to be permitted to do yibum. It says in the pasuk, this shall be done to the man, meaning shamaisa the action, that's taking the shoe, and on some level is the spitting, he shema, that's what's effective. In other words, the chalitza is effective on its own to even permit her to get married to someone else. Whereas the spittle, you're right, it doesn't permit her to get married to someone else, but at least it's effective, it's something to do with him, at least to confuse, to then make her invalidated to do yibum with the brothers. Aval kribet, regarding just the recital, ein makebes is not a tegel, and therefore, meaning it does not withhold the validity, and so too, ve'ein ma'elis, it doesn't even help anything, not even to invalidate her on the brothers, because even though by spitting we made a gzer drabbanon to make her problematic on the brothers, but just saying the psukim, that we're not concerned about, because that's even done before the chalitza, and they're going to say, oh, this that she recited is what's before the chalitza, and oh, therefore, of course she was permitted to do yibum because no chalitza was done, and therefore they would only make a gzer drabbanon, and it's like the Rambam calls it la'asa klum, not even a chalitza psul. Halacha tezvav. Okay, let's say she did the chalitza, took up the shoe, she spit in front of him, she said the psukim, but v'hem yeshvim, they were sitting when they were doing it. Or not standing, or they were laying on their sides. Or the shoe was strapped on his leg, beneath the knee, which all these are not ideal, as we said, they're supposed to be standing, and it's supposed to be tied on lower down on the foot, on the foot, not on the leg, but at least it was beneath the knee. Or the chalitza was done in front of the three common people that don't even know how to recite the psukim for them. Or if the blind person does chalitza. So in these cases, chalitza sikshere after the fact, b'diavad, it's going to be valid. Now, halacha tazayin, let's say chalitza balayla, let's say the chalitza was done at night time. Or it was done in front of the two people. Or it was done in front of the three people, but turns out one of the three judges was either a relative or someone that's invalid to be a judge for a monetary court case. Or the shoe was tied on higher above than the knee. Or shehitter who? He untied the shoe, and she took it off. Or she untied the shoe and he took it off. Or she intended for this to be chalitza, but he didn't intend. She's just taking off his shoe. Or he's intending for this to be chalitza, but she's not having that in mind. Or v'chein ketana shechatz lagadol. Or if it's a minor girl that's doing chalitza on an adult man, all these cases of chalitza and psula, here the chalitza is going to be invalid. It's not going to be kosher even after the fact. So if the chalitza was done in front of an individual, and even between him and her, and at nighttime, which is meaning, even though as we're saying that it's the chalitza is a din, and there's no din at nighttime, and the reason why it's a din because she collects her ksuba based on this. But even so even though it's in front of an individual and it's just between them, it's a nighttime, all the problems, hariza chalitza psula. Again, it's not a ina chalitza like the Rambam says later on. It's obviously it's not valid, but it's going to be a chalitza psula, which makes her invalid of being able to subsequently do yibum with any of the brothers. Now, let's say deaf, mute, or mentally deranged, or minor, if they do the chalitza, or let's say someone does chalitza to someone that's really exempt from chalitza and from yibum, which let's say the yavama was pregnant from her first husband, and maybe it's going to be a full-fledged child, which doesn't require chalitza, then ain't a chalitza. Then that's not even chalitza at all. Again, it's not even going to make any psulim as if that she can't marry a kain. She'll be permitted to a kain because it didn't do anything at all. Now, look, Zandaram continues regarding problems that could crop up for the halacha of chalitza regarding his foot, the yavam's foot, and the shoes. Says Ram, yavam sharagla yamanis chatucha. The yavam, if his right foot, which is the foot that you're supposed to do chalitza on, is amputated. Ein chalitza b'smal, he can't do chalitza with the left foot. Now, v'mcholtza me'al samayloi, if they did chalitza from his left foot, chalitza sabsula, that's an invalid chalitza. Let's say he's a ragli akum la'achar. Let's say his leg was bent backwards, meaning what's called bow-legged, in the sense of that the palm of his feet are upwards, and actually when he steps, is that the top part of his foot is actually on the bottom, and the bottom is on the top. or it's turned on its side. Or he actually would walk on his tippy toes, where his sole doesn't touch the floor. Such an individual cannot do chalitza, because the one who does chalitza has to push his heel down on the ground, and then she slips off the shoe from him. This person cannot do that. And then chalitza was done to such a person that his foot is like this. That's going to be an invalid chalitza, which the rabbi disagrees, and he says we never heard that. Yes, it's a halacha broad, but that we never heard that should be ma'akev to invalidate the chalitza. Halacha yitches. The yavama now going to her. In contrast, the yavama, if her hand is amputated, is cut off, she could initially do chalitza. Even with her teeth. Although by him it says that chalutz hanal, that you have to take off the shoe from his foot, but by her it doesn't say that she has to take it off with her hand, so she could do it however she wants, even with her teeth. Now, but let's say chalutz beminal shel baged. Let's say she removes a shoe made out of cloth. Then in a chalitza, that's not going to be a valid chalitza because that doesn't protect his foot at all. Therefore, that's not considered chalutz hanal. It's not included in being called a shoe. Aval chalutz beminal shein le'akim. But let's say she does chalitza with a shoe that doesn't have a heel. I show you tough and patient, always stitched with linen. I show you minel shall say, always a shoe made out of goat's ear. I shall sieve or of bast, which is the inner bark of a palm tree that they make rope out of. I shall sham or of cork, which is also a thin peel of a certain type of a tree. I shall eitz or of wood, which all these are hard and they are protective, but still they're invalid for chalitza because they're not made out of leather. And the Torah tells you now, which we learned from another pasuk, means that it should be made out of leather. Or that's a very large shoe that it's too big for him, he can't walk in it. Or it's too small, it doesn't even cover the majority of his foot. Or it's a torn shoe, therefore that's also not covering the majority of his foot. Or if it's open on the bottom where the sole is, which again, cannot contain most of his foot, all these cases, the chalitza is going to be invalid. Halach yitess. But let's say chalitza v'sandal shel eitz. Let's say she did chalitza. He's wearing a shoe made out of wood, or any one of the other things we mentioned in the previous halacha, and umchupar. But it's covered with leather. Or heisikar kiyasear. Let's say the soles are made out of leather. Ulechayiv shel seir, and the sides were made out of goat's ear. Oy shel chalitza sandal shel smol ma'aragli yemanas. So she's doing it from his right foot, but it's actually a left shoe on the right foot that she's taking off. Or let's say the shoe wasn't his, and initially it has to be the Yavam shoe, and because if not, it might not be according to the appropriate proportions, as we said it has to be. And here the gear says either you have the word shaloi or not, but either way, the idea is the same idea. Or it wasn't too big. No, it was that even though it was big, but he could still walk in it. Or even it was small, but it still covers the majority of his foot. Or it's torn, but it still covers the majority of his foot. Or even if it's open, but it accepts the majority of his foot, then it's going to be a valid chalitza. Halacha chaf. Sandal ha-muzgar. If you have a shoe that has halacha of muzgar, which means like quarantine, which if let's say there's a tzaras, a certain type of leprosy, on the shoe, the halacha is that the kohen has to be mazgir, has to quarantine it for 7 days to see if it's going to spread or if it's going to remain as is. So that's one. That's a certain status of tzaras. Or v'hamuchlet, which actually means confirmed, which is after the 7 days, the kohen sees that it's spread and now he confirms it as a tzaras shoe. Or v'shalabaydazar, or if the shoe is of idolatry, shemanich nesabragla tzura, that is put on the leg of the image, which is this avaydazara image. So like tachlitz boy, a person should not do chalitza with these shoes because it's repulsive to do mitzvah with something that has a title of tumah of a desire in it. But if chalitza was done with it, it's a valid chalitza. Although that these things are forbidden to have benefit from it because Allah has mitzvahs lav lahanas nenu. It's not considered having benefit when you're performing a mitzvah or something. Now, in contrast, Allah sandal shall take cravings of a desire. But if you have shoes that are from idolatrous sacrifices, which they sacrifice an animal in front of the avodah zara, and then they made shoes from the hides of that animal. Now that's different. The sacrifice of a desire can never be nullified. And the halacha is, has to be burnt, or has to be destroyed. Comes out that these shoes are like almost as if they don't exist. And therefore, obviously, it's not covering the majority of a person's foot. In contrast, in the previous case of the shoes of the idolatry that they put on the image, that's only what's called Meshamesh HaBedizara. It's only serving the idolatry, and that actually could be nullified. So it comes out that sandal could be fixed if someone was Mavatl, and therefore it's not necessarily what's called Oymer L'Sreifa. It's not like as if we view it as if it's pulverized, and therefore there was valid, but here it would be invalid. So Devashel Ir Anidachas. If you have a city that the majority of the people were seduced and they worship Avodah Zarah, and everything in the city has to be burnt. So it comes out again that these shoes are oymid l'sreifa, so it's like as if it doesn't exist. Oy or shenas l'meshi yikovet bay, or let's say these shoes were made for a dead person to be buried with. Im chalitza bay, if the chalitza was done with it, chalitza subsul, it's an invalid chalitza. Shari eino oymid l'halach bay, because it's not designated to be able to walk with it, and hence it does not have a locha of a shoe. That's for the dead person because it's designated, it's asabano, it's for the dead person. So too, Abita Zari and Idachas also. So therefore, it does not have a title of a shoe, and therefore it's going to be forbidden. Now, Halach of Alf, the Rambam continues regarding someone does the chalitza in a different way than how it's prescribed. Says the Rambam, Karaha Milamal Rak, let's say she tears off the shoe from his foot. So hence, it just like falls apart, falls off of him. So although you're really uncovering the foot, but she didn't do the chalit, she didn't remove the shoe from him. Oisha Sarafato, or she burns it. She lights it, takes the lighter and burns it. So it's now her shoe, his foot is revealed, but she didn't take it off, she burnt it. Oisha Ilav Eshtim Enolim, V'chaltza Elin. Or let's say he was wearing two shoes, and she removed the upper shoe. Now, Ava Pishakara Tach, Nashin Eskasa Raglai. Now, even if she tears the lower one, so now his foot is revealed, and she did a chalitza, or is a chalitza psula. Again, all these cases are invalid because it has to be the one that's on his foot. That shoe has to actually be removed. Now, Halacha of Beis Nadaram continues regarding the halachic status of the Eureka, of the spittle itself. Yivama Shachle Shumma. So if this Yivama, this widow, if let's say she ate garlic or gargar, or some say this is white mustard, okay, it's behem midvam, or things that are similar, Shamar Mesarik, that they increase a person's spit. Bahoya Rigzabim Pia, now the spit was dribbling out of her mouth. Sayanakum, that's nothing. In other words, that's not considered halacha of the spit. She would have to spit another time. Until the spit comes from herself, not from something else, which was just the garlic that made her start dribbling her spit. Now, halacha of gimel, let's say rakodam, let's say she spits blood. Always dripping out of her mouth, enakum, that's nothing. But v'matza v'rakah, but let's say she sucked the blood, let's say she has a wound in her mouth, and she then v'rakah, then she spit out, that's kasha, that's valid. Why? She eshla dam sheninsis v'litzak tzuchay rak. It's not possible if you had sucked the blood and then spit it out, that you're not going to have some remnants of spittle, and therefore there was the spitting of spittle. Let's say rakako o kalatatu haruach. Let's say she spit and the wind caught the spit. Koyim shegila kenegim panim before it reached opposite his face. Kugain. When would that happen? For example, shayisa ruka b'hu katzer. She was tall, the sivama, and the yavam was short. And if she spits it, but then the wind blows away before it goes opposite his face, so then it's nothing. It's because it has to be the yoke of the. Now, when achar shegil neged panim, but let's say it was after that it already was opposite his face, that then the wind caught hold of it and started removing it. Avabish legil arts, even though it didn't reach the ground in front of him, kasher, it's going to be valid. And v'chinim leiro hadiyan harik kashias mepia. So too, even if the judges don't see the spit when it came out of her mouth, although we said initially it should be kasher, that's also going to be valid. Now, halacha of dal Ram continues regarding if the chalitza was mistaken or forced. So the Ram, chalitza mutas. If this was a mistaken chalitza, I mean, he didn't want to do chalitza, but he was misled, as the Ram is going to explain, psula, that's invalid. Says Ram, kids at house, so they told him, chalitza, do chalitza tar, and that's how you can be able to marry her, which obviously he's being misled over here. Or they tell him, chalitza, do chalitza tar, shazu mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. They didn't have said this, you're not going to lose anything by doing a mitzvah. If you want to do yidin, you'll be able to do over kids of the Ramelo or any of these misleading type of statements. So Basula, that's invalid because he wasn't doing it with the intent of permitting her to be released from him. Now, but Avalimatu, but let's say they misled him in a different way. They said to him, Chalitzla, do Chalitzla, and he knows what that is. But what the misleading part was on this, Amanasha Tin Lach Masayim Zuz, on the condition that, you know, if you'll do Chalitza, she'll give you 200 Zuz, or it's not Kach Vatach, or some other stipulation which he's willing to negotiate on, then Ava Bishle Nostam Lein Eskam Matnai, then even if she doesn't give the money and does not fulfill the stipulation, Chalitza Sekshair is going to be a valid Chalitza. And the reason that is because conditions don't help by Chalitza, because you can't do Chalitza through a Shliach. It has to be with him and with her. Anything that cannot be done with the Shliach, You can't make a stipulation because the laws of Tanoim learned from B'nai Gur, B'nai Reuben regarding getting that portion on Eivar Yarden, which that was done through a shlich with Yeshua, and therefore here you don't have halachas of Tanai, and Sharin is Kaman Lachlitza. And here he did intend to do Chalitza. It's just that it was, wait a second, it was misled on the conditions. Well, that's okay. You did what you did. And the fact that the Tanai wasn't fulfilled is okay because there's no halachas of Tanoim here anyway regarding the Chalitza. Halachafei. Hamaisr Maida al Chalitza. Let's say he put out a notification of protest on the Chalitza. I mean, he said in front of two people, he says, look, I'm about to Chalitza to Mayivama. I want you to know it's null and void because I'm being forced to do the Chalitza. I don't really want it to happen. So then Chalitza subsula. So that's, yeah, he already put out a protest beforehand. That's going to be invalid Chalitza. Lafikr, therefore, rola the young lemelai. So in a regular case of Chalitza, it's appropriate for the judges to tell to the Yavim, lavat lahamida, to void any protest that he had lodged. Kedech shayisim get. Says the Ram, like we do by a get, which the Ram had mentioned in Perek Vav Melchus Gershon Halachachav, that we want to make sure that there's not going to be any subsequent problems with this get, and so too with the Chalitza. Now, let's say Lechatzu Yisraelim. Let's say Jews forced him, v'hiku at Shachalat, and they hit him until he did Chalitza. So it depends. Im kadin asu, if they did appropriately, in other words, let's say the Yavim was smitten with boils or some other human blemishes or any of those which are mentioned later in Perek Vav, which the Halach is that they could force him to do Chalitza. So that Chalitza is this can be valid Chalitza. But v'im shalai kadin asu, well, let's say they did inappropriate. Kagan Shal Yehad Yaitis, they were common people, they had no clue what the Halach is. I should know that, or even if they're regular judges, but they made a mistake. Chalitza subsul, then if it was forced, the Chalitza is going to be invalid. So again, it is a Chalitza, not a bona fide to let her get married, but it will be a Chalitza Psul to invalidate her on the brothers. And the reason is because we're concerned that even though Shaloi Kedin, that we don't want to permit it when it was done Kedin. So we're going to consider it as an invalid Chalitza. And she'll need another Chalitza to actually get remarried. Now, v'magoyim ansu ma'atzman. Now, if the non-Jews had forced him to do Chalitza, again, on their own volition, not based on Jewish law, if the halacha still was, they're right. They weren't coming from the Jewish perspective, but truth is, this person, halacha requires that he has chalitza. So then chalitza is a psula. So again, it's not a valid chalitza, but it's not totally void. And again, as a concern, because if the Jews force him appropriately, which is a valid chalitza, so in this case, we could say at least like a chalitza that's invalid. But v'im shalek adin, but if let's say the non-Jews on their own forced, and also it wasn't even according to what Jewish law is, then ain't a chalitza, then it's not a chalitza at all, and should permit it to the brothers, because again, that's not going to confuse that when the non-Jews do it shalek adin, with the chalitza of Yisrael, when it is done kadin, when it's done appropriate to what halacha requires. Halacha vav, the Ram continues regarding qualifying chalitza that wasn't done appropriately. Says the Ram, kamakim shemana, whatever we said, and we've mentioned this before, ain't a chalitza, it's not a chalitza. Oy, lo asa klum, or he hasn't done anything. Oy, ain't a klum, it's insignificant. How do you kill as if she didn't do chalitza to him? And b'lo yinestro love krev esau, and therefore he's not forbidden in her relatives, which generally he's forbidden in chalitza, like his grusha's relatives. B'lo yinestro makuna, she's not invalidated from kuna, which a chalitza normally is. U'metesla siyabim, and she's still permitted to do yibim, which generally you cannot do yibim once one of the brothers does chalitza. But v'chol makom sherman the chalitza asabsul, whatever you say that the chalitza is invalid, oh, then Nesra lo krev esau, then the relatives are forbidden on him. V'nefsel mekunah, she's forbidden to marry a kohen. V'nefsel lachin, she's forbidden to do yibim with the brothers. V'nei meser bemes, she can't do yibim. But v'nei meteres l'nasel lazar, she's not permitted to marry someone else. Ashatach l'tz chalitza k'sher, until she has a bona fide valid chalitza. Now, Alocha Zayin, the Ram continues on this, and he says, so, although we're saying it's chalitza psula, so it's like it is a chalitza, but she still requires a bona fide chalitza to get remarried. Let's say, Avim v'nefsel, let's say she violates this, and she gets remarried with this chalitza psula. So Hariza Chalitza, Chalitza Ksheris, so the Yavim will give a subsequent Chalitza that is valid, Vitachas Baila, even remaining married with who she had gone to marry. In other words, that husband does not have to divorce her. Now, they do separate her from him until a bona fide Chalitza is done, because biblically that was an invalid Chalitza, and therefore, how could she remain with her husband without Chalitza? But if let's say no Chalitza was done at all, and she went and married some foreign person, what we call a czar, then actually he has to remove her to get, and she can be eternally forbidden to her, as the Rambam said in Perek Beis, because of a penalty, because now she's making herself forbidden to the oven, and we don't want someone that's a sinner to gain from what they did wrong. But in our case, anyway, she's forbidden to the Yavam because of the moment he did a Chalitza Psula, she's anyways forbidden, so therefore we don't penalize her, even though she's really supposed to wait for Chalitza Kshera, we don't, rather, Ve'imetina Semiyada, we don't remove her from him, it's just that the Yavam subsequently gives a Chalitza Kshera. Halacha Chav Ches. Yavama shegar la bina achim. If the Yavama, this sister-in-law, grew up amongst her brother-in-laws, and her husband died, let's say she was a ketana, she couldn't do chalitza. Now, Ariz Materis L'Siyabim, she's permitted to go ahead and do yibum with her brother-in-laws, and in other words, what's the chiddush? The ain chayshin law, we're not concerned for her that shema chotz l'echem hem beinu l'bina. Maybe, at some point, one of them needed their shoes taken off. Oh, it was after a hard game. And maybe she took off one of their shoes just between her and him, benif saleim, and she thus became forbidden to do yibum with them, as the Rambam said in Halacha d'Zayin, because the moment you do chalitza with one of them, you're forbidden to any of them to do yibum. We're not concerned for that. Now, let's say we saw that she once took off the shoe of one of them. Yeah, the nifsla, then she's invalid from doing yibum. Maybe she was intending to do chalitza when she did that. Now, although it's only a concern, it's not enough to know for sure. So she would require a chalitza ksher to permit her to marry someone else, but she would already be forbidden to do yibum with any of her brother-in-laws. Now, Halacha of Tez Ram continues regarding writing a document of the chalitza and the related ksubais, the dowries that relate to these halachas. Halacha of Tez. Get chalitza shon ekeisim lo. Says Ram, this document of chalitza that we write for her, ain ele maisa bezen, it's only like a receipt, a documentation from the court. She should have proof that she had chalitza and that she's permitted to marry someone else. But again, it's not like a get of gerishin, which the giving of the get of the document is actually what divorces her. No, here she's divorced when she does the procedure, not the document. Now, the judges only do chalitza, and this is going to relate exactly to what we're talking about. They don't do chalitza unless they first recognize that this is the wife of the one who died, and that the one who's doing chalitza tar is her brother-in-law. Now, therefore, this relates to what we're talking about. Mishra, says, if someone saw the procedure, he saw that there was the three judges, the five men, and saw that chalitza was done to her, then Kaisim will get chalitza, so those people could write for her this document of chalitza. Even though that person himself, who was just watching, he was just a bystander, he doesn't know that this woman is the son of that man and the wife of that man, and that the one who did chalitza was his brother. The reason why he doesn't have to know all this information is because, like we said, the judges that did the chalitza, they obviously know this because we said they only know this, va'aka chalotza, only then did they do chalitza. So whoever saw this could make the document of the chalitza, knowing, testifying that she had chalitza done to her. And says Ramazel Nusr get chalitza shenogu b'yom. And this is the text of the document of chalitza that has become the custom for people to write. Halacha lamed. This is the standard text, b'yom plani on that day. Kach v'kach l'yerch plani, such and such a day of that month. Shnas kach v'kach l'bias almo, such and such year to from the creation of the world. L'minyana d'regelna l'mimni bay, to the counting that we normally count with for dating purposes. B'makom plani, in that place. Anachna d'yoni, we the judges, d'miktsosano chasim l'tata, that some of us assign on the bottom. And the reason for that is because, as we had mentioned previously, mitzvah chalitza is done, and for the five people, and only three of them who are the primary judges, they're the ones who sign. So some of us have signed on the bottom. But meisiv tlasa kechada havenu yasrim debeidina. In a settlement of three as one court, we sat here in judgment. Uslika lekadamana plainis bar baras plaini. And it came in front of us, this woman, the son of that man, Armalta the plaini, who is the widow of that man. Vekarevis lekadamana gvar chad deshmei plaini bar plaini. And she brought in front of us this one man, who his name is this person, the son of that person. And v'chein amaralana plainis da. And so too, that woman said to us, that plaini bar plaini dina, that man, the son of that man, achu de plaini bali mabu haba. He's the paternal brother of my late husband. Davein and nesiva le'yushchev, that I was married to him, and he passed away. Now, v'chei l'rabban l'chol yisrael shvak, and life to the rabbis and to all the Jewish people should remain. I mean, we want to say, although he died, but you people should stay alive. Now, but ubar, ubras, a son, and a daughter, yoris, umachsin, some inheritor, umukum shma, b'Yisrael, and to sustain his name in the Jewish people, leishvak, he didn't leave, meaning he died without any children. V'hadim pleini, achui, chazei liyabay miyasi. Now, this man, his brother, is fit to do yibim to me. Now, ka'an rabbana amarle, now the rabbis say to him, itzavei liyabay miyasi, that she's telling, that let the rabbis tell him, and this they're writing this in the document, that this all happened. She's saying to the rabbis, let the rabbis tell him, if he wants to do yibim to me, yam, let him do yibim. If not, yitli raglei, the amina kodemechel, let him stick out his right foot in to me in front of you. The Eshrei Seinim al Ragli, and I'll untie his shoe from his foot. The Eirik Bampai, and I'll spit in front of him. Vishtamaydindunu, the plain did not. Say the judges who are signing this document. It was known to us regarding this person, that he was the brother of her late departed husband, his paternal brother. And we said to him, if you want to do yibim, do yibim, and if not, itla kadamanu raglach yimin, stick out in front of us your right foot. Vitishri sendach maraglach shall take off your shoe from your foot. Vitik bambach shall spin in front of you. And he responded and he said to us, yes, lasa not tzavali bamiyas, I don't want to do yibim tar. So miyada krenu leplain is not. So right away we called and we recited in front of that woman the pasuk me'en yavam lahakim la'achim shem Yisrael. My yavam refuses to uplift the name in the Jewish people. La'av yavam, he doesn't want to do yibim to me. V'afla high plain akrinu le. And then we also called that man and we recited in front of him the pasuk lechavas lekachta. I don't want to take her. Ve'itla ragla diyamina, and he stuck out his right foot. Ushra seni maragli, she took off his shoe from his foot. Ve'rakas ba'ampoi yireka dischazalon mepum alara, she spit in front of him a spittle that we saw from her mouth going onto the ground. Ve'tuva krenu, the plane is done. Then again we recited for this woman to say, kachi asla ish, so shall be done to the man that shall leave this bezeg, that does not build his brother's house. Ve'nikashmai b'yisrael bezchalutanol, and his name shall be called in the Jewish people the house of the removed shoe. Now, v'nachn dayani, and us the judges, v'chol tava yasim kadaman, and all those that were sitting in front of us, anena basrei, we said after her, chalutzanal, the removed shoe, chalutzanal, the removed shoe, chalutzanal, the removed shoe, we said this plazin and three times. Now, umedis avidu v'odu do kadaman, and from the fact that this procedure was done in front of us, shirinu leplein is dolemach, we permit this woman that's here in front of us, listen, sava lochoma desvei, that she can marry whoever she wants to, v'eina shal yamach biyada, no man shall protest from her, min yom edinan ulalim, from this day onward. Now this woman requested from us this documentation of her chalitza procedure. We wrote it and we signed it and we gave it to her as a merit. Like according to the faith of Moshe and the Jewish people, plainly by plainly aid, this person, the son of this person, witness, plainly by plainly aid, this person, the son of that person, as a witness. So this is Ram Halacha Lamanav. And they testify, these judges, who the chalitza was done in front of them, Shleisha, three of them, or even two of the three, meaning if, let's say, happens to be that one of the three is not there anymore, but as long as they said that we start off the document, we were three people, so the third judge's signature is not me'akev. Oh, so you have two or three, or you could have two random people that saw the chalitza, as we mentioned before. Even though they're not the judges, the chalitza was done in front of them, like we explained, na'locha chavtes. Even a woman or a slave or a minor, who he recognizes and is a discerning individual, they're permitted to say, this person, the brother of that person, and that's his Yavama. And we can do chalitza based on what they're saying, that these are those individuals, that we can thus know that these are the real people. As Ram explains, because Masha Inka Bisha Idiya Shal Torah, in contrast to all other testimonies of the Torah, that we wouldn't believe a Eved or Cotton or Isha, Bein Laidis Mammon, whether it's for monetary testimony, Bein Laidis Issa, whether it's for testimony that has to do prohibitory law, it's only for this procedure of the Chalitza, Shezet Dava Asla Galisu, because this is something that's going to ultimately be revealed, where Ef Shalei Damitis Adaba Shalemi Pim, we can really know that we can verify this truth, not based on what they're saying. Kinya Shabi Arna, Basav Hichas Gerishin, like we explained, and Hichas Gerishin, therefore we rely on what they're saying. And so too will be here. But if the Yavim wants to do Yibim, then obviously Mekadesh, he does Kedushin with monies, as we said, that rabbinically is required as a Mimer, as Ram said in Perek Beis. Umiyam, then he does the actual Yibim, which is cohabiting with her, which that's the primary acquisition of the Yavama biblically. Then he writes for Aksuba, Kamesha Adanu, like we already let this known in Perek Beis Halacha Beis, which that's Ram continues on that. He says, and this is the text of the Ksuba, of the dowry, the documentation of the ksuba of a yavama, which has already become the custom to write as follows in Halacha Lamed Beis. B'yom Pliny, on this day, kach b'kach le'erech Pliny, on such and such a day of that month, shnas kach b'kach le'minyan Pliny, such and such a year of the that appropriate counting, l'minyana d'regelno, l'mimni b'makom Pliny, according to however the custom has become already to date documents and years in that place. Eich plainim and plaini asul akadmana. How such and such a person came in front of us. V'chinam alana, and this, and so he said to us, Achi dimin abishchev, my paternal brother, he passed away. Now v'chayl rabban l'chol yisod shvak, and life to the rabbis and all the Jewish people should remain. But he has not left over a son, a daughter, an inheritor, anyone to maintain his name of the Jewish people. Now he left over this wife. The Shema plains bas plainly that her name is this woman, the son of that man. And it's a fit for me, and I see from the Torah to do Yibam Torah, like it says in the Torah of Moshe, Yavam should cohabit with her. Utsvi's plan is done. This woman desires, and I'm going to do Yibam, and I did Yibam to this, and to do Yibam to that man, the son of that man, Har Yavam, Lok Mishma Bisrael, to bring up the name of her late husband in the Jewish people. Because this is what he says in the Pasuk. It's going to be the first one that's going to be born. Yokum Hashem Ochva Mesra Vagamim, that shall take the place of his dead brother, etc. Uchsav Laplein Yivam Laplein Zivimte. And this man, the Yavam of that woman, is writing to her, Ksav Zuzim Mosin Nechazoyla. The 200... a silver zuzim that's fit for her. Which the same amount that was written to her originally when she got married to her first husband, which the Yavam takes that over. And he's adding on to this ksuba, however much he wants to add on. And this is the nedunya that she's bringing to him, etc., which she brings in stuff to the marriage too, etc. Kashar tavsi ksuba is like all the other regular generic texts of a regular ksuba, which is not a Yavama situation. A regular girl getting married for the first time, which then the Rambam moves in to that. He's moving from one to the other, explaining halachas that interrelate, which Teifas Iksuba, this is the standard text of Iksuba and Halacha Lamad Gimel. Being plain of Chulu on that day, etc., which the Rambam has already said that generic text already. Eich plaini ben plaini, omal plainis bas plaini, how this man, the son of that man, said to that woman, the son of that man, Besul Tekalsa, who was his bride, a virgin, have a little inti kedas Moshe Viso, be for me as a wife, according to the faith of Moshe and the Jewish people. Me with the word of heaven, meaning with heavenly assistance, I shall work and I shall honor, and I'm going to provide, I'm going to nourish, and I'm going to give sustenance, and I'm going to cover you, meaning give you clothing, like is the law of the Jewish men, the mikrin that they honor, and that they provide, and they nourish, and they give parnaso, machasin, and they clothe, yes, nashayim, their wives, bekushta, with adornments, and they give you the dowry of your virginity, ksav zuzi masin, which is 200 silver zuzin, which the inun mezuzi kasbut, which if on pure silver zuzin, that comes out to esma chamisha, that's 1/8, that comes out to 25 pure silver zuzin. The chazoy lichi midareisa that biblically is coming to you, and for your sustenance, and your clothing, whatever it is that you need. I'm going to come to you like the way of all the people in the land, which are the conjugal rights, his obligations for intimacy. And this woman desires to be as a wife for this man. And he actually wants to add on to her additions onto the primary ksuba that is obligated to her. Until whatever, however much he wants to add on to such and such. Now, then v'don dunya, this is the dowry dahan olas leikach v'kach, that she brings in to him such and such amount. Hakol neskabel chasazeh, the chas and the groom received all this. Ovol l'yad, they came to him, and nas v'shusah became into his domain. V'zakav hakol alatsam v'kemil v'reshua, and he accepted all this upon himself like a loan and a debt. And v'chein amalon apleini chasna dunat, so too said this person, this groom, he said to us, achrayis ksubsa kaila, the responsibility of this whole ksuba, Ikri ksuba, which is the primary ksuba, which is the 200 for the psula, and the dunya, and the dowry, which that she's bringing in, but the service and the additions that he's adding on, ushartan ksuba, and all other stipulations which are written in ksuba, kabelus alai, he says, I accept upon me, val yartai basrai, and my inheritance after me, val kol shva arag nixin mekinyon in de isli tcheis koshmai, and all the desirable and best of my properties and my acquisitions that I have beneath the heavens, the kanai that I did acquire, v'dasidan no lemek, that I'm going to acquire, mimikarkri, from land, metalli agamikarki, or from movable items that come together with an acquisition of real estate, all of them will be liable and accountable for this ksuba that we're writing over here, which is the ikur, the primary ksuba, the dunya, and the dowry, but the additions, that all my assets can be collected from when I'm alive and after I pass away, and even from the cloak on my shoulder. And says the document, and we acquire from this person, become out of Siv, whatever, from whatever is written over here, and we'll first lay on what was explained previously. Kinyashalm, a complete acquisition, delokas machta, not like something that was just done facetiously, that's, you know, just relying, but not a real documentation. Or deloka ketuf sedeshar, not like just a generic text that was written for a document. El kachizik u kachimer kol shtarik subis hanoigis beisol, rather has the strength and the substance of all the documentations of subis that already have been the custom of the Jewish people. U kahagin u katikin Rabbi Sinazal, and that's appropriate and that was instituted by our teachers. The chasam nashtarik subis zu bezman haniskalel, and we signed on the documentation of the suba in the date that was mentioned above. Vakol bar v'shar v'kaim, and everything is clear and strong and viable. That is the generic text of the suba. Now, halacha l'madal, v'maisa k'suba z'almana. Now, if this was a k'suba being written for a widow, then kaisav, then you write a little bit differently. You write plainus almanta, right? That woman, that widow. Now, v'maisa k'suba z'gerusha. Now, if it was k'suba of a gerusha, kaisav, you write plainus ha'gerusha, that woman, the divorcee. V'chein maisa shvuya, so that if she was taken in captivity, kaisav, you write plainus ha'shvuya, the woman that was taken in captivity, k'desh lo yikashal b'kain, so that a kain should not stumble on these women to know that she's actually forbidden to him, because as a captive woman, she might be forbidden, because she might have had bia with the non-Jew. And b'chaisiv, and these cases that we said, the widow and the divorcee and the woman captivity, who they're not besulim, they're not virgins anymore. So it's a b'chaisiv, you're right, behave nalichi marechi k'sav zuzima. I'm going to give you the dowry of the monies, 100 zuz. The inum zuzik kasper, which that's equivalent in pure silver, trace of alga, 12 and a half, the chazay lichi b'chulu, which is fit for you, etc., because the widow gets, or the ba'ula gets half of the basula. When you write, going back to why we started this whole conversation with all these different documentations, when you write the get of the yavama, which is the chalitza, or the ksuba of the yavama, so you carve out in the document, in the paper, a line where you're going to write the psukim, because it's forbidden to write three letters of the Torah, which you're writing la'abayami or yavama yavalao, but let's do it without carving out the lines. The yavama shechalitza, now, a last halach over here, the yavama that did chalitza muteres le'nasavim chalitza, she's allowed to get married to someone else on the day of her chalitza itself, meaning unlike a regular woman that gets divorced, that has to wait 90 days from the day she gets divorced to verify the paternity of the child, if she's pregnant or not, here, she can get married that day, because anyways the chalitza procedure itself is only done once 90 days have passed from her husband passing away, as the Rambam said in Perakah B'loch Yates. So then, already by then, it's already been 3 months, already know if she's pregnant or not. And so therefore, that day itself, the chalitza, she get married to someone else.